Well, hello everyone. This is Kenji here in rainy Asheville. Please send sunshine to Asheville. In exchange, I will send you some rain, like in Sedona. Okay. Well, welcome to the upgrade call today. I'm pretty much going to be in the background today because we have a very unique guest presenter that would love to speak to you today about her work and to do a little group Akashic Records reading and to answer some personal questions. So I'm going to let Michael, our beloved webmaster, for all of you that are new to the membership, Michael and I run the business, and John, who lives in Missoula, Montana, does our audio editing and on occasion video editing. And on occasion, Michael will do audio video editing. He's also very great with graphic design, among other things. TikTok. He's becoming very famous on TikTok. So go visit him there. We're going to be on TikTok pretty soon. Okay. So here's Michael to introduce Daniela. Okay, Michael, it's all yours.
Hey, everybody. Welcome. Hello from Smoky, Oregon, where the smoke outside is at toxic levels. So I'm inside of my air purifiers. Kenji, we will gladly welcome all the rain you can offer us. It is, it's renewing. There's fires across the West Coast, but it's fully renewing. And Daniela is on the East Coast, and I'm very excited to have her on this call. Daniela is an international spiritual teacher renowned for the clarity in which she channels the Akashic records. She is known as the psychic psychic and the healer's healer, working with and training many spiritual teachers, coaches, wellness practitioners, and esteemed figures in the field of spirituality and self-development. Daniela is a great friend of mine. We traveled Greece together, where she taught me some of the ins and outs of the Akashic records and gave me an Akashic record reading in the cave of Agia Sophia, which was a giant cave used for ceremonial purposes for thousands and thousands of years on the Greek island of Crete. And it was just remarkable. She was able to channel kind of what was going into my future. And it really gave me a lot of clarity in terms of what I was going to create, kind of aligning me to my purpose. So thank you everyone for being here. And thank you, Daniela. I will hand it over to Daniela to introduce herself and take it from here.
Yay. Thank you, Michael. And thank you, Kenji, for having me. I am super honored and grateful to be here with all of you. It's such a transformative time on the planet, and I feel like there is so much light streaming in at this time. So it's a really exciting time to be diving into this work. So I'm going to be sharing with you what I call an Akashic transmission. And I'll tell you a little bit about what it is. So I call these readings or these sessions, I call them Akashic record readings. And the Akashic records are the energetic imprint of everything that has ever happened, everything that is happening, and everything that could happen. So some people know them as like the cosmic library. Some people know them as the cosmic mind. The Bible refers to the Akashic records as the book of life. And my personal experience of the Akashic records is that while we are in these human bodies, we don't necessarily have access to the Akashic records in their entirety. Because the Akashic records are like the knowing, the remembering of infinity and eternity, which is completely incomprehensible to the human mind. From my experience, the Akashic records are, they're like the culmination of all perspectives. They're just every human being that has ever lived and everything that they have experienced and the knowing of that. So the human mind cannot possibly grasp that because the human mind is designed to make sense of this seemingly limited linear experience of life. But I do feel that what we can do is we can come into this elevated, expanded state of consciousness that in many ways supports us in transcending our human minds, and a lot of the memories, judgments, belief systems, expectations that we have, which actually are limiting our perspective. And when we come into this elevated state of consciousness, we can come into what I like to call Akashic perspective. And it's just a higher state of consciousness that allows us to bring forth some of the energy and the perspective of the Akashic records, which is the perspective of, well, it's the perspective of unconditional love. It's like higher perspective. And it's a perspective that reveals to us and reminds us of our inherent oneness with Source and our inherent oneness with each other. And it's a perspective that helps us anchor in a lot of love, a lot of trust. It restores peace. And it is such a valuable perspective for this time because so much is happening. There's so much transformation going on. I feel like it's one of the most transformative times in human history. And that transformation is accelerating. And at times that can be really scary. It can feel chaotic. It can bring up so much fear and angst and sadness and despair. And when we come into this higher perspective, it helps remind us of what is happening behind the scenes. It helps us see what is being birthed from all that we are undergoing. And when we see from this perspective, it's just like, it's peace, it's love. We remember the ways in which we are so interconnected, and therefore love is our truth. If at the end of the day, we're all one, and we remember the ways in which we are all one with Source, which restores to us our sense of power, our divine power, and it awakens us from a lot of the distortions that the collective human psyche has believed for so long to be true and real. And a lot of these stories that we've been perpetuating that don't necessarily serve us, like these stories of victimhood, these stories of other human beings being like the enemy or the problem, like the problem is out there, that antagonistic type of energy that we're seeing arise in the collective human psyche at this time. It's not necessarily the truth from Akashic perspective. And when we come into Akashic perspective, it can really inoculate us, so to speak, from what is happening in the world, not getting like sucked into it and becoming these anchors of love, seeing everything happening through a clear perspective so that we can hold space for it all without getting roped into these very divisive type of energies of us versus them, or believing there is some sort of external group doing something bad, doing something wrong, which we really see playing out at like an all-time high right now. So that's what I'm going to be sharing with you. My process is that I say a prayer, and I came up with a prayer. It just came through me. And when I say the prayer, I feel this shift in my consciousness. Like it's like a little change. And then I will see things or hear things or feel things, and I'll just flow with it. Like whatever I see, whatever I feel, I'll just do my best to formulate words out of it. And I'll be sharing those words with you, whatever they may be. So we'll start with that. And then when that is complete, I'm going to open up to questions. And all of you will have the opportunity to ask questions. And the way that I usually do questions is on Zoom, there's a feature where you can raise your hand. Do you want to explain, Michael, to them now how they can do that?
Yeah. So if you tap the participant panel, if you tap the participant button on the bottom, you will see the participant panel. And on the bottom left of the participant panel, there is a little blue hand. And if you tap that, a blue hand will appear next to your name. And that way, Daniela will know that your hand is up.
So you can raise your hand if you have a question. And then I'll like feel into all the names. And usually the energy just lands on one name. And I'll call on that name. And typically what tends to happen is whatever they ask, I'll just share what comes through. And then people at the end tend to say like, wow, my question was answered in that other person's question, even if we never got around to that person's question. Or people put their hands down. They're like, my question was totally answered. So that's how I'll work with the questions. And you can ask anything. It can be related to humanity at large, what's happening in the world right now. It can be personal. A lot of people like to ask about perhaps like any disempowering habits or patterns they've been engaging in that they want to release. They like to ask about goals and visions, big decisions. How can I this? Or yeah, anything that's on your mind. And if it's a personal question, because we're in a group container, I tend to tune more into the group and answer the question as it is relevant to the group versus going to like really detailed specific psychic information on one person's Akashic records. Although sometimes that does come through as well. Does anybody have any questions before we dive in? So I'm going to need a name for the group.
It looks like there might be some questions. There's three blue hands up. Sunshower, Rimi, and Maureen. And these are questions, just general questions, not Akashic record questions. Maureen says no. And if you want to unraise your hand, just press the blue hand again.
Oh. Okay, yeah, if you have a question, you can unmute yourself and ask it. Not for the Akashic records, just before we dive in about the process.
Sunshower, do you have a question?
So let me be absolutely sure I understand, Daniela. Is it that we are asking you, we're not asking you questions from the Akashic records right now, right?
No.
Just the process?
Yeah. Sometimes people just have a question about the process before I dive in, before I say the prayer.
Oh, no, I'm good.
Okay. Okay, so I'll start with the prayer then. And what should we call ourselves, the group?
Joyful Lightweavers. That's the name of Kenji's membership is Joyful Lightweavers.
So good. I love that. Okay, cool. So I'm gonna dive in. The first part of the prayer is out loud, and the second part is silent, and then I'll announce when the records are open. Spirit, support me in coming into an elevated, expanded state of consciousness so that I may be one with your perspective. Set aside the totality of my personality. So that I may serve as a clear channel for your divine loving guidance and knowing. Allow me to see the joyful light weavers as the joyful light weavers are seen in the light of the Akashic records. Help me to know the joyful light weavers as the joyful light weavers are known in the mind of God. Enable me to share all the communication of the joyful light workers, masters, teachers, and loved ones with integrity, clarity, and love. And so it is. The Akashic records are now open. I was trying to mute someone who's unmuted, but I forgot I'm not the host and I can't. Thank you. So I'd love to invite all of you to drop into a meditative state.
Daniela, sorry to interrupt, but there was a technical difficulty and everyone was muted.
Oh.
And so when we dropped into deep meditation, we were all meditating so deeply that we didn't hear anything. And I know everything happens for a reason. So,
whoa.
Yeah. So that message was for Divine Source.
That's so interesting. Will that be in the recording? Probably not, right? No.
No, because it was muted.
Okay.
So that was the secret message that we weren't meant to hear.
Wow. Cool. Well, let's see if we should start over. Just start somewhere completely. Okay. Okay. Cool. Whoa. Wow. So I'm just being taken on a completely different journey now, the way in which everything rises and falls and is created and destroyed, birthed and then dies. We cannot fully appreciate what we create until we fully accept that it will die. And collectively at this time, we are undergoing this great death. And this death is leading us towards something greater. It can feel scary at times, but we are being asked to trust. Through this death, we are birthing an experience of life that from our current state of consciousness is completely incomprehensible. Because it is someone of so much love, light, joy, peace. For eons, we have traveled this beautiful, intense, chaotic, painful journey of forgetting. We have submerged ourselves in the experience of ignorance of our divinity, just to see what that is like. And now we are awakening from that. And in that awakening comes the death of everything that we have created from that place of forgetting. So all of the systems that we have in place, all of the industries, all of our ways of being that are rooted in fear, in lack, in separation, in antagonism, is currently dying. And that's what you see occurring on the planet at this time. It is a necessary change for the birthing of something greater. We are also collectively healing our relationship with death. Recognizing that things only change for the better. And if it doesn't seem like they've gotten better, it's because they're not done changing yet. Our nature at this time is expansion in the direction of greater love. The collective human psyche has undergone so much trauma and wounding throughout these years of submerging ourselves in the forgetfulness, the ignorance of our own divinity. If you look at human history, you can see all the atrocities that we've committed against each other. And we are currently healing our relationship with one another. And if it doesn't look that way, it's because in that healing process, we must first bring to light and purge all of that mistrust that we have developed of one another. All of the hostility, the anger, the antagonism, the divisiveness, victim mentality, guilt, shame, blame. All of that is coming to light at this time. So that we may open our hearts even more, all the barriers that we have to opening our hearts are being peeled away one by one. And that is what you see occurring on the world stage amongst all the world leaders. And it may look like a mess at times, but know that these world leaders have been appointed by God. To support the evolution of our souls, the expansion of our consciousness. That is life's doing at this time. It is supporting the maturation of the collective human psyche and everything unfolding is catalyzing just that. So know that no matter what happens, you are safe. As we collectively heal our relationship with death, we realize that even in our death, we are safe. The soul has died countless times and will die countless times more. Every day we're dying these little deaths as we grow, as we change, as we transform. Old aspects of ourselves die so that new ones may emerge. And the more that we can trust in life, in ourselves, and what is being birthed, the easier it'll be to surrender to these changes, to this transformation. Move through it all with ease and grace. Consistently remembering to peer at it all through this higher perspective. This higher perspective is always here for you. All you must do is trust it and call upon it. And through this higher perspective, faith will be restored. In your heart. And you can and will become an anchor of peace, of love, and of well-being on behalf of all. Sometimes what we view in the world around us and we judge as so tragic, as a reason to mourn, to grieve, is also a reason to celebrate. It can be both. It often is. So I'm asking, what does this group need to know specifically? And the first thing that I saw was an anchoring in of presence. A letting go of a need to know what's to come. Anything about the future, even a need to plan. Because at this time, we are collectively being asked to learn trust. We are learning trust. And sometimes in the process of learning trust, we cannot plan and we need to trust that we will be taken care of. And sometimes in the process of learning trust, we can't know. And we trust that we will know what we need to know when we need to know it. It's always been that way. You may feel at times that you've been dropped by life, by spirit, by God, but you never actually have. And you never will be. And within all of you, I'm seeing this restoration of trust, this bringing in of trust, this deep trust, this unshakable trust, no matter what is occurring. And with this trust comes this feeling of safety, of security amidst all the chaos in the world around you, all the fear, whatever it is that may arise. Here you are anchored in trust, which births this feeling of safety within you. And then you can become a safe sanctuary, not only for yourself, but for all of those around you. It is through living into and fully embracing our Dharma as joyful light weavers that we realize our greatest fulfillment during this time and that we ensure our continued thriving. This is a time where many of us are being prompted to step up, to show up in service and devotion to the other aspects of self, to all the beings around us. And it is through doing so that we receive the fruits of our own gifts, the fruits of our own love. And we feel fulfilled, we feel joyful, and we thrive no matter what is occurring. It can be important at times to retract our energy from certain areas of focus that could disempower us, drain us, or bring up unnecessary hostility towards others, bring up blame, bring up pointing fingers at someone else. This is your fault. Become mindful of any time that you feel you may be heading in this direction or engaging in this way, and bring your locus of power back home to your sacred heart. Bring your focus on what it is here, or bring your focus on what it is that you are here to gift, to share, to be, to provide for the world around you. This creates an energetic flow that allows your heart to maintain open and that keeps your energy channels flowing in connection with all, which allows for an experience of expansion versus one of contraction. The Akashic truth of what is happening in the world is that it is nobody's fault. And as humanity has gone on this journey of forgetfulness, we have developed these habits of blaming the world around us, of shaming, of thinking that it's the government's fault, it's that country's fault, it's those people's fault, it's someone else's fault. Yet no one is to blame. There's innocence at the heart of all beings. When you see someone behaving badly, it is because they have been treated in that way, because that is what they have been taught. And before that behavior was imprinted into their way of being, there was innocence, there was purity. So nothing is anybody's fault. We've all been shaped into who we are by the world around us, by our experiences, by humanity, by our parents, by our culture, by our society. At the heart of each being is innocence. And this is not their mess to clean up. This is not their problem. It is our mess. It is our problem. Everything that we see playing out in the world around us is our karma to clear. It's ours. We are one. It'll be supportive to relinquish any ideas that the problem is outside of us. And then beyond that, relinquish any ideas that there is any problem. It's all an opportunity to grow, to shine, to share, to become more of who you are, to embody more of your divinity, more of your power, more of your truth, to claim your truth, your experience for yourself, and to cut ties with the lies that we've been feeding. For a long time, many of us have turned to the world around us, to some sort of authority figure, some sort of guru, a teacher, a leader, a government, a parental figure, to guide us, to tell us what is occurring, to tell us how life is, to tell us what we should do to save us. At this time, we are being guided to bring all of that focus and attention back home to ourselves, to become our own guides, to determine for ourselves what life is and how it is. To restore love, to restore sense of purity, to restore our capacity to see clearly, to see the innocence within all, to see our power. We can now disengage from these stories. And what I'm seeing for each and every one of you is the returning home of your power, back home to your sacred heart. This life is your life. To do with it as you choose. And there's so much wanting to be created and birthed through you. your divine integral, incredibly important aspect, being in the unfolding of all that is, in the writing of this human story. In many ways, our destiny remains unwritten, and it is you who is writing it with every breath. With every word that you speak and share, every choice and decision that you make, you are such an important part in the unfolding of it all. And there is more possibility than ever before as to what it is we can create and birth into existence at this time, because there's more light streaming onto the planet at this time. And what this light does is it brings to light everything that is not in resonance with this light. And part of that process can be to cleanse, to clear, to destroy. That's what we're seeing, the beginning of this time of mass death and destruction. But it is not the death and destruction that the ego will tell you it is. It is merely a death and destruction that paves a way for this incredible birth of a new humanity, of a new consciousness here on the planet, and of a new earth. Stay rooted and trust. You will be cared for every step of the way. Heaven on earth is being birthed through each and every one of us here now. And so it is. So I'll take about a minute in silence to allow for those energies to be integrated. And then we'll open up to questions. Thank you.
That was a beautiful transmission. Thank you, Daniela. So If you'd like to ask a question for Daniela, just press the raise hand button. And if you have, for some reason, changed your mind, just press the raise hand button again and your hand will go down.
Michael, I see in the box three people with their hand raised, but on the screen, I don't see them. And Christina, I unmuted her, I think. So I think she can talk. Christina?
And as Daniela calls on people, you can, if you hover over your name, you can press the unmute button. So we can all unmute ourselves now when you're asking a question.
Hello.
Hey.
Hi, can you hear me or see me?
Yeah, I can hear you perfectly.
Oh, hi, Daniela. You know, when I saw Kenji's message, immediately the draw was, I must be here today. And I'm so grateful, Kenji, for having Daniela and for what you brought forward, because you articulated exactly what my experience has been. Mm. And I'm absolute, you know, I love that and the gentleness in which you presented it. And it's just so in alignment. And I sat here with my eyes open, and it was somebody that's speaking to what I had been experiencing is true. So that's mm-hmm. always nice to have that validation. Thank you, Daniela. Thank you, Kenji. So that being the case, in terms of a question with you, I don't, and perhaps you can guide me on this, is it best for me to ask at this time what is the best and highest good information for me to receive at this time, or is it best for me to ask a specific question?
Well, you can do either, whatever you feel called. Because the information that comes through, sometimes people ask questions and the questions aren't even answered. It's something else that comes through. But I like the questions because it kind of prompts something for me.
Okay, perfect. So anything that I'm asking, I am asking for the highest good of all concerned with ease and grace. So we've got that as our caveat and our framework. So my name is Christina. And the spiritual teacher that I had been working with for the better part of 40 years was from one of the ancient light and sound schools, light and sound current schools out of India. So that has been a through line for me for that period of time. Consequently, and especially now, what I have been experiencing is more recently is the soul anchoring in greater ways through the body and through the center line and through the mula bandha breathing. And that has really been my focus. And that had not been my focus before. I was quite content in a multidimensional awareness and ascension and interdimensionality awareness. Now, though, what I'm also discovering is with the new energies coming in, with what's going on astrologically and so much that I don't even want to address here at this time, but I'm sure you're aware of, is, and so many of us are, is in the as the darkness is being released and the light is elevating, and I do believe we have already crossed into, you know, the light is ahead of the game. I have really a very hard time as an empath processing, experiencing a lot of the negative energies, and they do affect me physically, they affect me emotionally, they affect me spiritually. I've got what the tool that I've used, and I'm hoping you can help with this, is asking who does this belong to? But I have to be in a conscious present state and not wrapped up in what I'm experiencing in order to receive that. So that being said, I've been aware very frequently and over many years of almost a presence working, seeing through my eyes, So it's like a remote viewing type of a thing. And I need real help at this point in getting rid of that. It has been extremely detrimental to
my...
Getting
rid of what?
More of a, like a, somebody looking through my eyes. It's like a remote viewer type of a thing that has been affecting me for many, many, many years. And it affects financially, it affects other people around me, and it's been very, very hard. And I don't know where it sources from.
Okay, so I'm going to start, well, I'm going to ask you more about that last part at the end, but I'm going to start from the beginning, which was the first sense that I felt, like even just when you first started speaking, which was an opening of your throat. And this is relevant to everybody in the group. And it's like truly an opening here that comes from further clarifying our perspective so that we can speak more to it and share more of it. And so that a lot of the work that we have done starts to like formulate, it starts to take form, it starts to be truly lived. And in really living it, then we begin to express it more and more and more and become these beacons of light for all the world around us. So I saw an initiation for you around that is really truly starting to anchor in. And the other transmission that I saw around that was when we step into that, like into that sharing, there can be something that is, and bear with me as I clumsily do my best to put words to this, we step up as leaders. And you can think of a leader as like perhaps a king or a queen, right? They're in such devotion and service to the world around them, to their village, and their village, the people turn to them and look to them. And what a king or queen knows is that when someone in their village has a problem, or the village has a problem, that's not their problem. That's my problem, because I'm here to serve that. So it's the same way with an empath saying, whose is this? It's all of ours. Because we're all one. And if we are experiencing it, it's our karma. And there's been a huge distortion, I think, in spiritual teachings when there's blame someone else. Like, I feel bad right now because you feel bad and I'm empathing, you're feeling bad.
But it's always reflective. If we don't have it in us, then it, we wouldn't be experiencing it. So it's always a reflection of self.
Exactly. And it is always a divine opportunity to relate to what it is we are feeling in someone else differently. It's like, I think the reason that spiritual teachings or spiritual teachers will often say, you know, ask whose is that? Because we don't want to like believe like, oh, I feel bad. Now I feel bad. I'm anxious. I'm depressed. Like, we don't want to own it in that way at all. We want to take full responsibility for it, just meaning ability to respond. To respond to it, to interface with it in a way where we become these divine alchemical containers for whatever it is that makes its way into our field. It's like, we don't need, there's also another thing about like, oh, just let it go, like just release it. It's like, no, we alchemize it. We bring the light of our love into the container of our being, into our body, and then we lift the frequency of it. And in doing so, we raise that into, we bring that higher frequency into what, wherever it has come from, because we're all so interconnected and interdependent. And in many ways, that's our role here on the planet. And I feel like a lot of light workers at this time are shying away from their roles because it feels challenging. It feels heavy. It's like we look around at the world and it's like, whoa, there's so much to clean up and heal right now. And it's like overwhelming and overbearing, but we just start with the moment. We just start with the moment by having so much trust and faith in our capacity. Like, we are so capable, each and every single one of us. And I feel like another big distortion has been that to think that there are forces that are like evil or bad or doing us harm. While from one perspective, this is very true, there is evil in the world and there is bad and there are forces that want to do us harm, but all from a place of love that only catalyze our own awakening, that bring us closer to the remembering of how powerful we are. So everything ultimately serves that. Absolutely everything, every situation. And the more that we can relate to these forces in that way, the more that we can receive them. Because when we resist them, we know that whatever it is we resist persists. Why? Because everything that comes into existence is here to serve us in some way. So it's not going to stop existing until it actually serves us in the way that it is here to serve us. When we resist it, we can't welcome it in. We can't receive it. So when we accept it, when we trust it as a form of love, then we can integrate the learnings from it and like really let it in. And once we integrate the learnings of it, it takes new form because it has served us in the way that it was here to serve us. And that's how it is with all like harmful, dark, demonic, like evil forces. So instead of like, I think a more empowering question, like what's mine? How do I know what's mine? It's, we're becoming more telepathic with every day that passes and more interconnected. And to try to create boundaries of like, what's mine, what's yours is like, it's becoming futile at this point because we're just so interconnected. We're going to be feeling the collective human psyche, but there's a difference between feeling it and becoming it, or like being aware of it and then actually becoming it. So I think the question is, what is mine to do with this feeling, with this experience?
Great question.
And it is becoming of utmost importance that we learn how to like alchemize and what really works for us to alchemize. And I'll share some practices for me personally that really help. Well, accessing the Akashic Records is like my number one thing. Just like, let me come into my meditative state and anybody can access the Akashic Records. All it requires is like, I call it a pure heart and pure intentions, just like some form of like, okay, I'm doing this to serve love. And then the ability to come into what feels like a more receptive, trusting, still state of consciousness. And through that, those are the only prerequisites to coming into a higher state of consciousness. So that helps. Sometimes I do cardio. Sometimes I need to scream and cry. Sometimes fasting, sometimes breath work, connecting with the earth, like just really getting into the earth. All like sometimes just lying on my bed, palms facing up, eyes closed, like guides, angels, masters, teachers, and loved ones, please help me to transmute this. Help me to understand this. Speaking to the emotion, sometimes just feeling it. Like it's always something different. So the more that we connect with our own inner wisdom, the more that we're going to know what to do with all of this. And we'll find that we'll be moving through things more quickly and more efficiently. And we'll actually be experiencing more and more joy, even amidst all the like woe around us. And then once we do come into those times of like that heaviness, that anxiety, that despair, we won't come into like blaming or trying to like push it onto like someone else. Like, oh, this is just the collectives. It's like you are the collective. We all created this mess together. Like we all did this together. And it's time that we all embrace the role that we've played in it all. Like we've all like, you know, lived as human beings so many different times in so many different ways. And we may be light workers in this lifetime, but we've probably all done some really dark, atrocious stuff in other lifetimes. Like, yeah, I have this partner who's just like such a beloved, oh my God, he's such a powerful healer. And like the moment I met him, I was like, oh man, that man has been like the darkest dictator tyrant ever, like probably responsible for the murder of like so many. So now his karma is to be this incredible light worker. And we really all played our roles in what we've created here on the planet. And that's why we're here on this planet, because it's our karma. So it's time that we own our karma. And when we own our karma, it becomes so much easier. I know that in my family dynamic, it can be challenging at times, right? There can be a lot of heavy energies. Anytime I feel like it's your fault, like it's just you guys, you know, you guys are hard to get along with. You guys are so negative. It just perpetuates the feeling. But as soon as I'm like, all right, this is mine to own, mine to experience, how can I relate to this in a more loving and empowered way? That's how I then reclaim my power to create the shifts that are mine to create versus, you know, this abandonment, like boundary, like, it's like, yes, we want to set boundaries. You know, there are so many different perspectives on this stuff too, because I'm also only speaking to one perspective, because there is another perspective where it is really relevant to create boundaries and recognize that, okay, this is not mine in this moment. But if it keeps knocking, if it keeps coming, then it probably is yours to alchemize, to shift, to relate to welcome in some way, and to stop resisting. What was your last question? I didn't understand it.
Regarding the remote viewers, or should I ask something else? Because as you were talking, there was this thing that I came forward for me to ask about the Akashic Records. So,
okay, I don't know. Yeah, ask that question.
Okay. And again, I have really tremendous respect for you. I have been working with coming forward and speaking lately. Mm-hmm. So for me, it is speaking my truth, my beingness, and having that manifest in greater ways for the highest good of all concerned with ease and grace. And that has to do with global unity, global peace, flourishing for all of humankind, all life forms here, Gaia, where all may prosper and flourish and live in harmony and ease and grace, again, with the highest good. So more recently, I have been speaking to that. I had opportunities to do that in the year 2000. A particular meditation came forward. It came forward again to do again, and I pulled back. Came forward again to do in 2012, and actually spoke with some people at one of the huge peace institutes about incorporating it into their thing. I've delivered it internationally. And now it's like that service is more important to me than anything else. So there is, I live, it's almost like three-leggedly. There's one part of me where the ego could self-aggrandize, okay? There's another part of me that has known tremendous abuse in this and in other lifetimes, you know, and ancestrally and all of that, that is terrified of being front and forward, speaking out and being seen. And then there's this third, limitless energy of who and what I am in spirit. See, and now you hear my voice when I am in that. My voice shifts, my back straightens up. That kind of encompasses all of that. So I am hoping, and I'm asking God, those who are helping us at this time, through you, whatever information you have, that you can help me come into greater alignment with that, so that I'm no longer afraid, that I am no longer hiding. It has been very challenging for me in this lifetime, and I seem to be able to stand up for people. You know, there's no racism. You know, for me, it's humanity. Do you know what I mean? We come in different, you know, colors, sizes, ethnicities, races, colors, religions, economics, socio. Sexual orientation and preference. None of that matters to me. You know, I just happen to, and I always have, perceived soul as soul.
You are undergoing a purification process. Trust the divine timing and this divinely held process that you are currently in. You will be speaking and sharing once that fear has been transmuted, and there is a learning that is so valuable for you in the process of transmuting any fear that you may be holding. If you are not speaking and sharing yet, it is simply because you are not ready, because your perspective. Hold on. It's something beyond perspective because it's all still clarifying within you. And as it is clear, you will find that the sharing, the opportunities, the platforms, the people who are willing and ready to listen and asking you for guidance, for perspective, for support will naturally come. It'll all come to you in divine time. Trust this process. It does not need to be rushed. It does not want to be rushed. You have everything that you need. And I just see your intention as so clear and your path as just, you're just walking that path. Like that's where you are headed, but you're still in the process. So you don't want to jump ahead, but it's coming. I mean, the first thing I saw, just like, as soon as my energy went to you, was just this huge throat chakra opening. So, yeah.
So, yeah.
It all feels very simple and aligned. Like, it really does feel very aligned.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much. Thank you for contributing your questions.
I feel like God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you, Christina.
Yeah.
Daniela, Randa would like to ask of you. She's up there at the top row next to me, actually, up there on the screen.
Oh, Randa, yes.
Randa.
Hi, Daniela.
Hey.
Thank you so much for that beautiful meditation. Messages coming through are so pure and beautiful, and the flow of it is just so, it touched my heart.
Mm.
And something in my head told me, it can't be that wonderful and easy. So, my heart, yes, the mind, it's the mind that's been absolutely resisting something. It's all these ego personas that I have felt I've been creating to align with the collective. And it's absolutely ridiculous. The dialogue that goes on, the mind chatter that I'm hearing. And I know it is me, but it's not me. It's creating this alignment with others' ego personas in this huge community of mind chatter. And I'm aware the collective is purifying and we're getting rid of so much old, unrequired baggage. Moving forward, it's not serving us anymore. But how do I stay in my knowing of who and of what I am in my core, and sort of dissolve the identity of who I was, and I'm perpetually creating to be like everyone else. It's like the trauma of separation just perpetuates every day. It's an old story that keeps looping around, and that's it. I know it. I'm a master of the old expired story. And it's just fatiguing me. And I have a pain that's been there for 2 months. I was, during the COVID experience, I was in Egypt. I go back every year for a month. This time it was 4.5 months. So I guess something just came on just very suddenly. And I just feel so much heaviness.
Mm.
How do I lift it? And as I'm embodying more of my true self, just allow the brain and the body to receive it with more ease. Why am I resisting it so much?
Mm.
There's some clarity I can get. Maybe is it ancestors? Is it my own personal? Is it the collective agreements?
So let me.
Or is it karma?
Interestingly, as you were speaking, I saw like there's still that like propensity, like, okay, so the first thing I saw was that you're not resisting it as much as you think you are.
Mm-hmm. It's just here.
Yeah, so it's to even let go of that. And then, like, even in the question, like, is it this or that? It's like still that propensity to want to point or blame something. Meanwhile, there's actually a divine perfection to what is unfolding within you. There are many layers to what it is that you are moving through. It's like you're peeling off so many of these layers. Mm-hmm. And instead of thinking that there is something wrong or that you are doing something wrong, why am I resisting? It's more about directing your attention to how far you have come and to the divine perfection within you and within your process. To direct your attention, instead of like, you know, this is hard or challenging or like, why am I resisting or what am I doing wrong? To direct your focus towards where it is that you want to be headed and trust that you are headed because your heart knows. And that softens the blow, so to speak, of the challenging times of when you go into that mental chatter space. It's like you can work more with, instead of wanting to change it or judging yourself in any way for it, actually bring forth this energy and this experience of embracing it completely. Whatever the mental chatter may be, whatever your process is like, even if you feel so resistant, can you embrace that resistance? Can you surrender, accept, relax, and love even that? Love is the most powerful alchemical force. So what it is we want to change, we often need to love first. And then we can't love something when we have labeled it as bad or as wrong.
It just hurts. It feels painful.
What?
I allow it in and welcome it. I do meditations a lot. And what I gave you was the human perspective I'm experiencing.
Yeah.
The knowing and the love inside me, I welcome it in. But it just is maybe... I am quite open to so much, and it's so much. How do I put this? The energies are so persistent, and it's always there. So it's, how do I make it easier to welcome it in and efficiently alchemize it without having to spend the entire day and night? Because I have a life, I have jobs, this is my passion, but it's like I've left everything else, I've left the social life. This is my highest priority because it's a gift to myself and it's a gift to the collective. So I just I really love the tool that you gave. What is mine to do with this? That's a wonderful tool. So that I'll incorporate. And it's just learning to speak in a softer, more gentle, efficient way that I feel like something has to open up, as if like this cap, this dark cap is dulling and fogging my mentation. It would be so much easier if I could just speak to that and lift that out. Is there something in the Akash about foggy mentation and non-clarity? Because it's a lot of chaos.
You are in a process and you are being asked to honor that process.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of judging it or believing that something has gone wrong. Let me take a moment to drop more deeply into everything you just shared. There's nothing wrong with you.
Thank you.
Let yourself think your thoughts. Let yourself feel your feelings. Give yourself more freedom, more space to be your authentic self without any control or attempt to shape yourself into something that you're just not at this moment. Mm-hmm. Celebrate yourself as you are. Because nothing has gone wrong, and the mind will insist that there is something wrong, that there are problems, that there are bad things. But really, it's just an undesirable experience to the ego. That's not what the ego desires. Yet, that is the exact experience you need to be having. And that's why you're having it. If there's a fogginess in your meditation, it's because you're in a healing process. I see for you personally, like, more permission to like expand into your feelings, whatever they may be, or into your experience, like really expand into it and like be it completely. Like whatever that is, just be it, like be in it. Like sometimes I pick up irritability and like anger and I just have to be so irritable and so angry and I just have to be it completely, like, And as soon as I try to be like, you know, nice and spiritual, it just like gets really weird. Like it starts kind of leaking in other ways and lasts a little bit longer than it needs to and can almost like create like, honestly, like sickness in my physical body. So
is that need to, what? Is that feel of being spiritual is equal to the niceties? It's letting myself just be whatever I need to be. You're right.
Yeah. Like yesterday I was in such a mood. I mean, I spoke to Michael. Michael like heard it. I was in such a mood and it was like, at one point I was like, all right, I'm going to do a workout to move through this. And then I was just like, I'm just so angry. And I like went to the bed and started like punching the pillow. And I was like, I'm angry. And then like this woman came to mind that I felt like really mistreated from. And I was like, I hate her. I'm angry. And it was like just letting myself like feel that, like giving myself full permission and just knowing that it's like all complete and total nonsense. Like, I love this woman. I love her. I saw her the next day and just like so much love for her. But I needed to like move through that like anger and like really give myself full permission. Otherwise, it lingers. And then I had to go through a process of like, why am I angry at her? And it was like, oh, because she's reflecting back to something within you that you really don't want to see about yourself. And like, just, yeah, it was just fully understanding. But the first step was just going into that, like, and just being like grumpy and like, it's okay. Like, we can be everything, and we inevitably will be everything, especially in these times. We will be grumpy, we will be agitated, we will be irritable, we will be angry, and can we give ourselves permission to be even that without like I get angry at people, but don't take it like seriously, like full permission to get angry at people, but no permission to actually blame them for your anger. It's like we have the human experience and simultaneously we have higher perspective. Like with my partner, I get so mad at him and I'll tell him, I'm like, I'm so mad at you. But there's always a voice that's like, you're not mad at him. You're like mad at like something that happened to you when you were 3 years old from like your relationship with your mom. Like it's like the never personalizing our anger, but just honoring that we do feel angry and that sometimes that anger is directed towards someone, or sometimes that irritability is directed towards someone. And that's okay. Giving ourselves permission to do that, but also like reeling it in. Like, this is my experience, and creating safety for the world around us amidst our experience. And then also at the same time, creating safety for our experience. Does that make sense?
Safe as well. All my life, I haven't felt safe. So that's coming up a lot. Yeah. It's knowing I'm safe.
Yeah, and it starts by creating safety for ourselves within everything that we feel. It's like so quickly, like I know that me a year ago, I would have judged myself for feeling anger. And like, that's not a safe emotional space.
It's having to be calm all the time. I am the one.
Don't be calm all the time.
People come to me. I'm the one.
That what?
I'm the one that people come to because I'm calm, cool, collected. I don't freak out on people. So I freak out on myself though. So that's something to work with and allow myself to feel. Thank you.
Yeah. I feel like we need to, the more we can like freak out in productive ways, like mm-hmm. I will chant or yell or sometimes like punch pillows. Or like, I like to shake, like, ah! Then the more like truly, authentically calm and collected we can be for everybody, like super consistently. And then our freak outs, like I used to have a freak out where I would just eat like 10 brownies in a row. That was my freak out because I also never freaked out on other people. So when I felt anger, I wouldn't like yell at people or anything like that. Like that's never been my habit. It's like anger internalized. So these other more healthy ways of moving the feeling help us not internalize it. But first we need full permission to feel it and to like relinquish all judgment and all shame and all of our expectations of ourselves. Like, yes, we are these joyful light weavers and we are humans amidst this, like, I mean, whoa, look at the news. Like, this is reality, right? Like, whoa, we're gonna be angry at times, and it's all good.
So I'm a physician and I deal with a lot of patients, and I come home feeling so much weight that something, I feel that there's a process that my body is making me aware of, that I'm actually trying to heal my patients at the expense of my body. So I don't want to continue this anymore. I'm not here to heal my patients at the expense of my body or my well-being. This empathic, the negative empathic programming, it's got to come to an end. So
I'm seeing it not as empathic. I'm seeing it more of like, it's like this insidious, like martyrdom, like martyr. Yeah. It's like the martyr conditioning.
Yeah. I've done a lot with that archetype, and it's just, I'm working through it. I'm working with it and through it. And, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you so much. I feel like you brought forth a lot that was really valuable to everybody, which are things that I personally have been learning and moving through. And when I ask about the martyr thing, it was like, I'm not here to be a martyr. I'm here to thrive. Mm-hmm. And through my thriving, I support you in your thriving. Yeah. Like one of the old ways is like, oh, I meet you in your suffering to somehow help your suffering.
Yeah, lower my vibration to meet your lower vibration so we can both suffer together. I don't want that.
And yeah, and it kind of does make sense in some ways because people crave intimacy, they crave connection. So when they're suffering or at a lower vibration, they feel connected to you, they feel intimate with you, they feel that like the yumminess of connection if you can meet them there.
There's a lot of phrases that collective or people have used, like misery loves company. So we've created this.
We just love company wherever we're at.
We do, but
when we're happy, we want to be met in happiness too.
Happiness.
So yeah, it is about, hold on, let me feel. You help your patients heal by like embodying the highest level of health you could possibly embody. And
it's my ideal, but I go home pretty much don't leave the couch.
It'll be helpful for you to be more present with your personal experience. It's like sometimes the empath can be way too present with the experiences of everybody around them. Continuously come back to your own heart, to your own experience. What are you feeling? What is your body moving through? And that presence with yourself will help you to become aware of when you're starting to like get a little bit bogged down by things. And then you can start to clear them. You can know, okay, what is it that created this? What is it that is actually occurring in my field right now? And what is mine to do with it? And then you can begin to clear it so that you can maintain a clear field before, because it starts to accrue. And then once it accrues, we get exhausted. And then when we're exhausted, our alchemical power is greatly diminished. And that's how we create these like day in and day out states of like, ugh. But like if we catch it at the very beginning, when we still have a lot of our energy, it's just, we move through things pretty quickly. So it's about catching it at the beginning more continuously throughout the day, tuning into your own experience, your own sovereign experience, your own heart. Yeah. And prioritizing that, that's like really, I mean, that's of utmost importance because our well-being is what supports us to show up most fully for the world around us.
Well, I don't want to take others' time. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, blessings. Thank you.
So Kenji and Michael, are we okay on time?
Go as long as you want to.
Oh, glorious. Does anybody else have a question they'd like to explore?
Maureen has her hand up.
Yay.
Hi, thank you. I've been, you know, gaining a lot of insight from what you've been sharing already, but I've also been going through my own multiple transformations and changes, you know, well, that's the same thing, but and growth, I feel like I'm in a growth spurt in a way, but I feel like I'm going in a lot of different directions because I have a emotional with unprocessed and unhealed traumas. And then I have all my spiritual growth and changes. And I'm feeling like I'm going in a lot of different directions and I'm looking for some clarity and guidance. Anything that would be for my highest good and would be appreciated.
So the first thing that I saw as you were speaking was that one thing that seems to be missing is you celebrating yourself, like really fully celebrating yourself and taking the time to experience yourself the way that people around you may experience you. Like the way that it's like receiving more of the energy that you put out into the world. That's really going to be so encouraging to you and so inspiring. And it's going to help you clarify your route forward. And it's also going to put like a lot of like steam behind you. Like it's like just like like such a huge like, whoa, to like really celebrate yourself and see your efforts and honor like all that you bring to life. You are truly such a supportive presence. Your heart is in the right place. You offer so many gifts to those around you, and they are gifts that are both seen and unseen, and they may seem minor, but they are major. So it's more time in self-celebration, which helps you clarify more. It's like, you can tell me if this resonates, but I almost saw like a feeling of like just, let me feel it. It's hard to put words to it, but like a wanting to do almost like too much, like you need to like compensate or like something like that. But it's like, whoa, but you're already doing so much. It's taking a moment to honor what it is you do. And it may like be perceived as simple by you, but it's simple because it's you. You're just being yourself. So of course you're going to see it as no big deal. It's just like, well, I'm just being myself. Like, that's just the way I am. But to the world around you, it's like pretty major. It's like, it's truly a tremendous gift and blessing. So receiving more of yourself will really help to clarify what direction to head in, and it'll inspire you and encourage you and bring a lot more energy to everything that you're doing. There are parts of you that are expecting more. And like, I see like the impact that you're having, and it's like, but wait, but there's so much already. Like, what do you mean more? Just celebrate you and what is already there. It's really what's wanting to occur.
Thank you. So the as far as like the separate things that are happening, are they really kind of all connected? They're integrated, you know, the physical limitations and the what's happening with me spiritually and emotionally in processing trauma and stuff like that. Are you suggesting that if I just learn to acknowledge more of what I'm giving out, then I'd be able to be clearer?
And also acknowledge how far you've come. It's like more self-acknowledgement. It brings forth a lot more energy to you. And also, let me feel. Acknowledging what you've done well, it feels like, and yeah, you can let me know if it resonates. Like as a child, you were kind of like subjected to or like imprinted with a more critical voice. So there's a healing around that critical voice, because that's how, in a way, you learn to talk to yourself. Mm-hmm. And that's actually what's like bringing up these questions. It's coming from like this, from more of a self-critical space instead of a self-celebration space. And that self-critical voice has become a habit. So it doesn't really allow you to like look in the mirror and be like, look at you go, look at how far you've come. Look at the beautiful impact you're having in the world. Like, wow, you're so wonderful. And just really letting, it almost feels like no matter how much you do, there's a part of you that may think it's not enough, or that you could have done better, or there's still something to criticize, but it's like this never ending loop. So it's really the next step for you is just letting that voice come to an end and neutralizing it by consciously, intentionally creating a practice of celebrating yourself and of acknowledging yourself and celebrating like even the little things that you do each day. Like they seem so little, but they really are so major. And celebrating, I just keep hearing like your heart is in such a good place. Like you're really encouraging to the world around you, and you have really positive intentions, and you're clear on that, and you're continuously like in the flow of that, and relinquish any ideas of perfectionism, and even relinquish ideas of I could be doing better, or I should be doing better, or I could be more, or I should be more. It's letting go of any of that so that you can come into the full appreciation of all that you are and all that you've become and all that you've already healed and all that you have already done.
Thank you.
Yeah, beautiful question. Thank you.
Penny, would you like to talk? You are going to be unmuted shortly, I think. Well, let's go to the big screen here. Where's Penny? There you are. Okay, you're open, Penny.
Daniela, thank you very much. I think that, like, in a way, everything you've been saying, you would probably say to me as well. Mm. So thank you for all of that. I really have got a lot of answers, but I've got this sort of ambivalence because I know that I'm doing really, really deep work and so I'm sort of bringing up a lot of, you know, stuff that's pretty hard on the system. But then every now and again, I think, oh, maybe I'm just sick. You know, maybe I better go and get checked out and maybe I'm going to die soon, all this sort of stuff. But whenever I do cards, saying, is this physical or is it, I always get like it's completely emotional, it's the transition, the whole thing. But I've sort of got this ambivalence, like thinking, oh, maybe I'm just sick. You know, maybe I'm just kidding myself sort of thing.
Hmm. Everything is merging so completely at this time that it feels like every physical symptom has emotional, mental, energetic components to it. And we're just recognizing how inseparable it all is. And oftentimes in our healing comes the experience of what we may call sickness as we become aware of what it is that we're healing. And we may experience it as physical healing or as physical sickness, yet it is an actual healing. There are a lot of ideas of death circulating through the collective psyche at this time. But it's just because so much is dying at this time. Like so many aspects of ourselves, so many habits, so many perspectives, so many ways of relating to the world. And that can bring into our psyches ideas of like, I'm going to die soon. Because, I mean, a lot of people are believing this in a lot of different ways at this time. And it's like, well, what I is going to die? Like, what does that even mean? It's like allowing ourselves to feel into what is actually dying and where that voice is coming from. Do you have a more specific question?
Do I?
Yeah.
Well, am I physically sick? Do I need to go to the doctor?
It feels like that's up to you to decide. Mm-hmm. I'm receiving such general perspective right now. The perspective that I'm receiving is that everybody, to some degree, is physically sick, and everybody at this time is healing. There's like a major healing going on. And the discernment around going to a doctor is if you do choose to go to a doctor, which can support our healing even more, it's actually seeing a doctor that will support healing versus one that will perpetuate and create more sickness. And aligning yourself with a path that creates more healing versus perpetuates more sickness. The medical industry at this time is not in complete clarity around what healing actually requires. And the only guidance that I would really have is if you do see a doctor, ensure that it is one that feels like it would support your healing, and that whatever process is recommended is one that actually supports your healing and your well-being versus like keep like distracting from that.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Okay, I'm going to.
SCN has a question.
What?
SCN.
SCN. Okay, this will be our last question for tonight. I'm on the East Coast right now, so it's almost 10 o'clock here.
I think he's open.
Yeah, he's unmuted. Hey, SCN.
Where is he? Oh, there he is.
Oh, but I can't hear him yet.
We can't hear you. Turn up your volume.
He's muted. Sure.
Okay, I'm going to ask you to unmute. No, we can't hear you yet. I think Michael dropped off the line.
ACN, on the bottom left next to the mute button, there's a little triangle. And if you tap the triangle, it says select a microphone. And perhaps if you choose a different microphone, it may work. Can't hear you yet. Can't hear you yet. You can also type your question if you'd like. Can't hear you. Still can't hear you. But if you want to type your question in the chat, Daniela can answer it.
Try it again.
Oh, there it goes.
We got you. Now. Yay.
Great.
Got me now?
Yeah.
Okay. Ms. Gail, my question is this. Please, would you give me an insight as to the problem that I have had, you know, for a long period of time? It's like a pulsating energy on top of my head. And currently, I'm going through some treatment. And I was wondering, you know, if this is going to be effective. I mean, if the energy is going to leave me or not.
Have you communicated with the energy?
Huh?
Have you communicated with the energy?
I communicated with the energy many years ago and told the energy to leave, you know, and it just wouldn't leave. It's still pulsating on my head right now as I'm talking to you. And I've been on treatment, you know, for the last, I would say, I started about the second of this month, and I'm still going through treatment currently.
What does the energy tell you?
It doesn't tell me anything, you know, it's just that I associated myself with some people many years ago, and I think either somebody put something on me or I picked something up from them or something like that, and I've been struggling to get rid of the stuff, you know, for quite a while now.
I'm going to take a moment to really...
All right.
To fully
drop Essien, in. Where do you live?
I live in Goose Creek, South Carolina.
South Carolina, okay.
Yes.
I'm just going to take a moment in silence to be with this. So I did what I could with the energy, but this doesn't feel like it's necessarily my area of specialty. I know that ultimately the energy is actually serving your awakening in some ways. And if you could email me, I'm going to send you a link to a live energetic transmission that you could attend in the future that I actually feel could and will help with it. Mm. It's really, I feel like it's requiring this like level of transmission that I haven't quite mastered yet, like how to offer. Like I just, it's like I did what I could, but I kept like moving it and like communicating with it, and I just felt like it was still there.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm still learning and growing, so I'm gonna send you to someone that I just felt like really can.
Okay.
So yeah, so I'll send you an invite to that if you email me.
All right, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
Okay. Danielle, would you like to share how people can contact you and your website?
Huh?
Yes, I would love to. So my website is DanielaGill.love. I spell my name with one L, Daniela with one L, Gill with one L. And you can also find me on Instagram, DanielaGillLove, or Facebook, you can look me up, Daniela Gill. I host these free workshops on, oh, it's actually DanielaGill.love.
Oh.
Thank you, Kenji.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you. So that's my website. I have these free workshops on Fridays. So I have one coming up this Friday, actually on relationships. And following Friday is going to be all around learning how to source our power from within and call it back in from all the places where we've been giving our power away. I also have a training coming up. It starts on October 19th. It's an Akashic Records practitioner training, and you'll be learning how to access the Akashic Records and do so for yourself to support your own transformation, as well as do so for others should you choose to. Yeah, it's been such an honor to be here and to share with all of you. I really appreciate all of you. So thank you. And thank you so much, Kenji, Michael, for this invitation to be here. Kenji, thank you for sharing your amazing audience with me. It's really nice to be here.
Thank you. Yeah,
thank you.
Thank you.
Michael, anything you want to share before we end the call?
I just want to say thank you, Daniela, for your time and for your energy and for being here for all the joyful light weavers. It was so pleasant hearing you speak. I love your transmission in the beginning, the meditation. It was just so just full of flow and beautiful. And I appreciate you as a being. You're a gift from this planet. So thank you. And I highly recommend people checking out Daniela's work. She's got some really cool things going on. And I will also include links, all of Daniela's links in the replay email when I send that out.
Nice.
Thank you, Michael.
I was going to say something, but I forgot. So memory these days. Oh, boy. Anyway, thank you guys for attending. And thank you for hanging in longer than usual. Daniela, if you'd like to come back at some point to do a... another aspect of your work, you're welcome to.
Ooh, I would love to. This was fun. Thank you.
Let me see here. Oh, I was going to do a very short kind of a prayer meditation, but I totally forgot what it was. Oh, but what I wanted to say was, in spite of the glitch, the audio glitch where Daniela was muted, I felt the energy. So when you guys get to that part in the replay where she's talking but you're not hearing anything, close your eyes and just receive very deeply, because it was very nice energy. See, that goes to show you the energy, when it can bypass the conscious mind, it goes really deep. Right, Michael?
It's true. Yeah, I felt it.
Thank you again, Daniela. Many blessings to you and much success to you in your travels.
Thank you, Kenji.
Okay, you guys all take care. And thank all of you that asked questions tonight. And we will see you in, I think, 3 weeks for the October membership call. Okay, thank you guys. Good night.